Welcome to The Positivity Effect, where paying it forward and doing something positive in someone's life can provide them with the confidence and motivation to do the same for someone else. Like a stone dropped into a lake, let's create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world. And it begins with your host, Dr. Thomas Retscher.
Hey guys, what's up? Welcome back to the Positivity Effect, episode 15B and day two with Danielle Booz. If you didn't hear yesterday's episode, Danielle has an incredible story of difficulty and pain throughout her life, especially growing up, and how now she's transformed that energy into different various things. But right now, really, this non-for-profit business where she helps other young women who are now going through the same things that she went through in life. Also today, Danielle shares a little bit more about what she does on a day-to-day basis. And we talk a little bit about a fundraising event that she actually, it just passed. She just had it on February 6th, where she was running this fundraising event. She connected with a lot of people, and it was really for helping local businesses grow their entrepreneurial skills. And it was really powerful. And Danielle's going to tell you all about it. So let's jump right in to today's episode of The Positivity Effect. All right. What's up, Danielle? Welcome back. So yesterday we were talking a little, we were finishing up talking about just how, the current situation with the school systems, they're just not meeting the needs of kids, especially kids that are really dealing with a lot of emotional struggles. So my question to you is, what are some of your thoughts on maybe on ways that things could be changed, or what we should all be aware of, and maybe how we can start to contribute our own energy to maybe help make some change in the schools?
Well, I have a couple different thoughts. One is we can use the community to help foster change in our school system, and also use the community to add an additional support. There are organizations like my organization that help with personal and professional development skills. And these skills can help you be successful in the classroom. There are also organizations that help with tutoring to help if you have issues with a specific subject. So I encourage parents to seek out the resources in your community to help your student be successful. Another tip is to have a relationship with the teachers, because if your teacher can tell that you are one of the parents who are going to be involved, and they're a little bit more likely to spend more time with your child. And unfortunately, it's sad, but it's true. If you stay in front of a teacher enough, then they're going to put a little bit more energy and focus into your child. So building that relationship, asking questions, if your student is struggling in an area, how you can support them at home. We live in an age where we have technology in front of us, where we can get all kinds of information. There's a resource called Khan Academy, where you can go in and get additional support. So we have some resources in place to help us. We just have to dedicate the time to do the work. And that's a challenge sometimes as parents to do that. And being a single mother of two children, I totally understand. I have to force myself to make time, but I understand the value in their education. So those are some tips that can help you improve your child's situation and also advocate for the teachers and help them, because a lot of teachers are in a rock and a hard place. And I was there as an instructor, and it's a challenge when you have so many students with so many different issues and you have a limited time frame to get them information. So definitely rally behind your teachers and see how you can support them.
And you mentioned yesterday about homeschooling. Now, you do homeschooling yourself for your kids?
My daughter does an online program. She is gifted. So now she's taking some classes that are above my level. I struggle remembering the math myself. But I definitely go back and check to make sure she's on her game and she's doing like she should be doing. She struggles with mental illness, too. So some of the social stuff was an issue for her at school. And so it was just a better situation to get her out of that environment.
Because I wanted to ask, you know, for if there's a, you know, some parents out there that they're very proactive and they're just, they're frustrated themselves because maybe they've been trying to get through to the teachers or they've been trying to get through to the community and they feel that the community they're living in, like just maybe the kids that are friends with their daughter or son, like those parents aren't very involved in their own. So they're having like a lot of like, you know, kickback from the environment, basically. You know, what would be your recommendation to those parents that are very engaged, but they just feel like everybody else around them is not very engaged?
I would definitely tell you to get on your computer and Google homeschooling. You'll be surprised. So a lot of people think that you have to sit down for X amount of hours with your kid and go over lessons with them. And in some cases, that's true. But there are some other opportunities now that are online schools that allow you to have the same curriculum, similar to online colleges, where you gain the information that you need and you can continue a structured path to finish your degree. So that's definitely an option. You don't have to be skilled in every area in order to support your child through school. Also, if you use Facebook, there are resources and communities on Facebook that specifically deal with teaching your school, your student at home or homeschooling. If you look for groups, you can go in there, you can pose questions, you can find other people who are doing the very same thing. That's what I did. I found some support groups and I went in there and I asked questions to see how I could best support my daughter. So if you can't find people close to you, seek out support.
Do you find it's hard, it's becoming more difficult with just technology, you know, to engage the kids that you're working with because their minds are so scattered with, you know, they want to get on Facebook themselves or they want to play video games and are you finding that more of a challenge?
Yeah, we definitely had to get creative. We were doing a mentorship program, and it was a challenge to get the students to get involved in the process. So I decided to incorporate the technology that they use into the mentorship. So I had individuals work with students, and they would Skype them in on their phone or text them and check in on them using video conferencing things so they could still use their phone, or they would Snapchat a conversation between each other, just utilizing the technology that they love, but still having that connection to a person who has some wisdom that can help them. So when I realized it was a challenge, I figured out how to add what they love in the way that I supported them, just thinking out the box a little bit.
So it's like that old saying, the if you can't beat them, you got to join them.
In there, and you know, they like those platforms, but you can still get to them if you get on their level and get them to understand. It's really about building that connection with them. If they see that you care about them, you genuinely are there to support them, you can get them to do a little bit more. So I get to a space where I build a relationship with a young person and encourage them to read and make it something that's not just painful to do, but they see that I'm actually trying to help them.
Yeah. And it's very gratifying when you see the changes that they go through.
Mm-hmm.
What has been a very, you know, one of the most, it doesn't have to be the most, but something that you've been very grateful for through this whole journey of your own life and then now coming back and mentoring all these kids and your own kids, you know, share with us a story that really hits home where it's, you just feel great, you know, a real deep gratitude thinking of it.
I'll tell you, there is a person, her name is Miss Betsy Garrett, and she was my high school teacher. And she came along around that time when I was in a dark cloud and I was acting out and I was skipping class and was just out of control. And she encouraged me and stayed on my butt, basically, because she was like, you're too smart and too bright to be doing what you're doing. And you need to graduate, and I'm going to help you out. So by the time my daughter was born, she went above and beyond for me. She would tell teachers, like, look, she has a young child at home, so she might lay her head down in the back of your class, but she's going to get her work done, so work with her. So we're going to get her graduated. And she was, like, my biggest cheerleader, and we continue to have a relationship to today. So I guess it was a powerful moment when I did a radio show recently and I kind of talked about her and how she has helped to make me the woman that I am. And she was able to hear about it and she sent me a message and a card. And it's just a blessing to know that she's still a cheerleader for me and that she cared enough to impart and empower me. And I'm thankful for her. And when I go help other kids, I'm kind of like, it's like the torch was given to me. So now it's my turn to do what she did for someone else. So
I was just thinking that it's probably like, not eerie, but like, it's like, wow, you probably get goosebumps sometimes because it's like, it's just a full circle of what she did for you and now what you're doing for these other kids.
Most definitely.
So you're doing a lot, like right now, like today, 2016, like since we last spoke, you have a lot going on. So why don't you tell everybody about this local event that you have going on February 6th?
Sure. So outside of the nonprofit work, I help individuals who want to start a small business with getting started in their social presence is kind of what I support people with and understanding the mindset that you need to have. I'm real big on having a warrior mindset in business and in life in general. So this event was a community-driven event, and the idea behind it was to raise funds for my nonprofit and another local nonprofit, the Stan Hope House in Norfolk, Virginia. But I wanted the opportunity to support small business owners. So I said this networking event is going to allow small business owners to come in and promote their products and services. They're going to learn some of the key tips and tricks that I've learned about how to use social media to grow your business, as well as their ticket purchases are going to be donated back to nonprofits. So it's definitely all about community building. And it's going to be held at ECPI University in Virginia Beach, Virginia. We have Emerge Magazine coming in doing media. And so I'm excited about that. Yes, it's definitely growing. My idea has evolved and I'm excited, although I'm working a lot with the planning and the back end stuff. I'm excited about the event and I'm looking forward to connecting with everybody.
What kind of planning goes into something like this?
Oh, a lot of planning. So first of all, I had to figure out the space. So it was pretty cool. Once I went and pitched the idea to ECPI University, they said free of charge, you can have it here and let us know anything else that we can do to support you because we love the idea. So that was good because I wanted to market the event and have the event with as little cost as possible because the money that we're raising, whatever it costs to run the event, we have to take it out and the rest will be donated. So I didn't want to spend a lot of money. So I had to think really creatively about how to market in a way that was using my own strategies of bootstrapping it so we could get people in the place. So when you are doing that, it requires a little work on my end of reaching out to people and getting them on board with the vision and getting them to help promote and reaching out to all the radio stations and the local TV stations to get them on board with sharing the information. So just that whole marketing piece has been a time. And then I have some people working with me, pulling together the attendant list and figuring out food. But you want to make sure that you have all those things in place and it runs smoothly. And I've done some other events before. So I kind of have a back experience on how to get it to run effectively. But to make it look easy, you have to do a lot of work on the back end.
I was going to say, it's definitely difficult to get people on board sometimes, you know, to get them thinking the way that you're thinking. And that's a lot of energy that you have to put forth.
You have to think about what is in it for the other person. Right. And make sure that when you are sharing the information with them, you're leading on how this benefits that other person. So whenever I go talk to someone about it, I do a little research to see what need of theirs in my meeting by pitching this to them so that they can get on board to support and tell other people.
And now a lot of the kids that you work with, do they reach out to you, as well for entrepreneurial advice? Do they go to these events that you set? Are they also trying to, are they involved in that way?
not a lot of them, but we do have a small group of kids who are interested in entrepreneurship. And it's funny because the money that we are raising for my specific nonprofit is to help their group. We call it the Young Entrepreneurs Group. And these are individuals from ages 14 to 16. And our objective for this year is to raise some funds to help them create a product so that they can see how to sell, how to market, and how to understand their ideal client so that they can get some of the skills that I learned later in life early. And I joke with them all the time. I say, if you get it now, by the time you're my age, you could be a millionaire or even a billionaire and come back and share some money with me.
That's right. Don't forget where it came from.
But it's definitely... I'm excited about the project, and I look forward to working with the young people, and we're just hoping to pull together some money. We've been doing other fundraising, so out in the community where we raise some funds to help them build the website and help them figure out what product, because we were going back and forth with product and service, and I said, no, let's do a product because it's easier than a service that you provide. So they have some creative ideas, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out for them.
And you said, at this event in February that you're going to be kind of sharing some of these social media tips. So for someone that's listening that's an entrepreneur, give us one thing that they should do, that would help build their brand online if they're looking to, just like you, they have a story they're looking to share, but they want to make it a business somehow and help others.
I will tell you, utilize live broadcasting. It's new. They have Periscope, Meerkat, now Facebook Live. If you have an iPhone, you can go and use Facebook Live. Use these platforms and don't go in there saying, I have a t-shirt for $19.99, because that's not going to work. But you need to get on those platforms and share different things that help in your industry. So if you are someone who let's say you have a bakery, you can go on there and talk to people about some different things you can create with your toddlers and say, here is a little pastry dish that you can create, and go through the steps via that broadcast so they can see and say, and by the way, you can pick up some of these, whatever it is, at this X, Y, and Z location. So that way you're giving them something. They're getting to know you. You're getting in front of people for free, and they see that you are skilled in whatever your area is. So I tell people to think creatively and use these platforms to grow your market. And another tip that I'll give people is there are a bunch of different platforms now. You have this Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, and the list goes on. I encourage you not to spend tons of time trying to build a community on all the different platforms. You need to understand who your target customer is and where they hang out. And wherever hang out, focus on that platform, because you can waste a lot of time and energy trying to get people on a platform, and that's not your ideal customer. So first you have to understand who your ideal customer is, and then seek out the platform that they are on and come where they are. If you spend enough time learning your customer, you'll understand some things that they like and they're interested in. My target customer likes self-help. They like personal development. So I'm going in locations, anything about self-help and self-development, I'm in that group or in that community, and I'm sharing insights and I'm giving them tips and strategies to help them so they can see that I'm an expert in the area.
What's a self-help book that somebody could listen to today or read today that if they're going through a similar story, if they have a similar story to you, that would really help them open their mind to the possibilities that they still have in their life?
Let me think. I've been reading, I think the book I just finished reading was Steve Harvey has this book out right now, and it's about success, and it was related to business, and I can't tell you the title off the top of my head, but that was the last book that I just read. And I just got another book actually while we were talking that was business minded, that's Becoming Your Own Boss in 12 Months, which is a good resource, and it's about mindset as well, and understanding business through a mindset kind of thing. And so my self-help is all business related right now. So if you're not seeking out a business, I would encourage you to find some other books that are not related to business, but there are a bunch of good ones. And I read all the time. I spend about 30 minutes a day reading or listening to an audio book in the car.
So powerful. Wouldn't you say, right? Like anybody that's successful today, if you ask them what is one of the keys to their success, it's reading. Whether it's, 30 minutes a day, an audio book. Everybody thinks you have to read like verbatim. Like I used to feel that way. Like when I bought a book, I felt that I had to read it cover to cover and get every word in. And then when I did that, I wouldn't absorb anything. And it was like shifting from that mindset that it's okay to pick up a book and just find like one good nugget of information. And then you put it back on the shelf. And that book doesn't have to go away. It's like an old friend. You just take it back out when you're ready to read it again.
And I'll tell you something that I did, because I used to hate reading. When I first started this journey, I went to Barnes & Noble, and they have those books with the short stories in them. And they were like really short self-help stories. Maybe it took like 5 minutes to read the story. I started off doing that. And I would read one story, and that would be my story for the day. And then the next day, I would pick another one. And eventually, I wanted more. I yearned for more information. So I continued to add more time. But if you are one of those people who don't enjoy reading or you just can't do it, start small.
Yeah, like we have to just start small. Like why do we feel like, you know, why we let ourselves get overwhelmed with that? We have to sit down and read like a, you know, 400 page manuscript and finish it in 1 week. I don't know if maybe that's school that ingrained us in, you know, yep. Ingrained that into us.
Uh-huh. But we do that in other areas too. So think about when you say, okay, I'm going to lose weight, like I'm going to lose 50 pounds. And so now I'm going to go start running for 3 hours, all this crazy stuff. And then you quit because it's just like,
it
doesn't work. So you got to start slow and start making a lifestyle change, because that's when you're going to see the big changes, when you start making it a lifestyle kind of thing instead of just, I got to sit and read the book.
Right. Yeah. Just taking little bits of it and building on it and compounding and letting it, you know, like you said, not just going out and running a marathon the first day. So Danielle, I have one last question for you. If you were suddenly at the end of your life and you were reflecting on all that you've been through, all that you've created, what kind of impact would you want to be remembered for?
I want my legacy to be one where I empowered other people to empower themselves. So I want to be the person to encourage you to figure out what you need to do to make it happen for yourself. Because that's what I need to be doing, and I want other people to be doing.
Love it. Danielle, I'm inspired by your positivity and your message. And everybody that's listening, they can't see, but I can see your face, and you're smiling, and I can tell that, you know, you're really killing it in life, and you're helping so many people with their struggles, and it's really powerful. So thank you so much for sharing your personal stories.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed the whole interview.
Awesome. Give our listeners one last word of wisdom and the best way that they can find you, and then we'll say goodbye.
All right. So this word of wisdom is not mine, and I can't tell you who the person is, but when she said it, I was like, oh, I love it. It's called Do It Scared. Now, sometimes you are going to be faced with things that you have to do, and you're going to be scared out of your wits, but still do it. Do it. Do it scared. That's my last.
Do it scared. I love that.
That's my last little advice, and I wish I could tell you the person that said it, but I can't. But anyway, I wanted you to know it wasn't mine originally. I heard it somewhere, and I've been holding on to it. To reach out to me, you can find me. My name is Danielle, DanielleBoose. Now, if you look up my name, you will find me. If you Google Danielle Booze, my personal website comes up along with my for-profit.
Hey, Danielle, just start again. I'm sorry, your name for some reason cut out.
So you can reach out to me on any of those platforms, and I'll connect with you.
Awesome. And I'll put everything in the show notes. They can find you if they go to positivityeffect.com and just put your name in the podcast tab. So Danielle, thank you so much. Always love talking to you. It's so powerful what you're doing, and we didn't even get to talk about Capitol Hill. So we'll have to have you come back again, and we'll talk about Capitol Hill, because it's some exciting stuff that you're doing, and just keep doing what you're doing. So thank you so much.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Hey.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Positivity Effect. I promise to keep sharing inspiring stories with the guests every single day. I hope you feel inspired, and I hope that we stirred some self-reflection in you on topics like transparency, compassion, and empathy. Please check out the website at positivityeffect.com. Sign up for the newsletter, and I'll send you some tips to get you thinking more positively. If you're really enjoying The Positivity Effect, please tell someone about the show. Together, we can create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world, something that we need so desperately today. So thanks again so much for listening. See you tomorrow for another episode of The Positivity Effect.